So today's message is on forgiving from our heart. Now I know it's probably preaching to the choir to say I forgive you, and maybe you already have forgiven everybody that you know in your life. But I'm hoping to dig a little deeper today and help you learn to forgive people you thought you forgave, but you didn't. I'm in that boat as well. I had to go through this whole process of learning to forgive from my heart. See, God looks at our heart. He will know that you say it. That's a good, an obedience. But what about the heart? He looks at our heart. Are we believing to forgive that individual? I got tested this week. Every message I give, I get tested. I didn't hear the whole story. Did anybody remember the message last week? You didn't hear the whole story, so you made determinations. You responded incorrectly. You made decisions that maybe hurt people. You didn't even have the whole story. Well, that's what happened this week. I didn't have the whole story again. Okay, I'm not perfect, but I'll be happy to hear from you. Okay? How many pastors will be happy to hear from you? Not many. I'm open to receive correction. I'm open to receive what you have to say. Thank you, Lord. So I had to apply this teaching to my life today, this week, matter of fact. And when I did, I heard the whole story. Then I was able to what? Forgive myself for not listening. We got to forgive ourselves. So I want to teach you today how to forgive without a but. I love you, but I don't like what you just did. I love you, but I could never forgive him. I'll forgive you, but never do that again, or I'm out of here. We need to forgive without a but. That means conditional love. God's love is unconditional, and he has no buts. There are some but gods in the Bible, which are amazing, but those are not what I'm talking about today. When we forgive somebody, what happened to you is supposed to be forgotten. Hey, I'm getting that from Butch. I like that. That means think, huh? When we forgive, it's to be removed from our hearts like it never happened. Now, how many of us do that? We say, well, I know I forgave them, you know, but I'm gonna be a little bit more careful when I talk in front of them again. I'm not really sure about them. Now, of course, we need to have discernment. We need to know who we tell our hearts to. But when it's about forgiveness, we need to be able to forgive completely and entirely. I had a friend that me and her had a conflict. Go figure. Anyway, so we had a conflict, and we ended up restoring after about 6 months. And you know what we both said to each other? Because there was a lot of water. We could have brought it up and said, oh, what did you mean by this? Or what do you think about, why did you say that? We didn't do that. We just forgave each other as though it never happened. And now we're having a relationship again, and there's no water under the bridge. There's no, oh, I better not tell her that because of how she acted before. Isn't that what we do? We have relationships with people that we're in bondage to because of unforgiveness. What does the scripture say? Let's look at Matthew 6:9. Matthew 6. Again, this Bible gives you all the answers you need. Matthew 6. Very familiar passage. Very familiar. After this manner, therefore pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Right there in the Lord's Prayer talks about forgiveness. That's the kind of forgiveness I want to talk about today. I love what Jesus said at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you have anybody in your life that you really think you want to forgive and you really want to, but you don't know how? Just say that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a good start. That's a good start. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Matthew 25:40 says this, you do this to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. So if you don't forgive somebody, you're doing the same thing to Jesus. If you treat somebody bad, you're treating Jesus bad. Because we're made in his image. It says it right there. You do this to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. So Bush was talking about examining our own hearts. That's where we want to start, by examining how are we treating others. How many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? I had a lady come up to me who was married to a man who just was horrible. He just, you know, in her life. And am I supposed to forgive him every day? I said, yeah, 7 times 70 is 4. And I calculated it out. It's like all day long, forever, every day. And that's just one sin. That's just one offense against you. Can you imagine how much you've got to forgive each other? It's a life of forgiving. But I'm going to give you a couple of tips on how you can forgive from your heart. There's a scripture, and this is my Magna Carta scripture of this teaching. Matter of fact, this teaching on forgiving from the heart, I've written a book about. And forgiving from the heart, I wrote a book because people were asking me, how do I forgive from my heart? I know I'm supposed to forgive, and I do. But if you forgive, and yet when you think of that person, you have this high-octane ping on the inside of you, and you haven't forgiven from your heart. You might have given lip service, but not heart service. And again, that's what's coming out of you is what's going to come out of your mouth. So here's John 20:23. Whosoever sins are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins are retained, they are retained. Get this, whosoever sins. What I gathered from this, and maybe you got another view out of it, but if I don't forgive somebody of their sins, I get to retain their sins. Now we're walking around, we don't even know what we got, because we got so much we're dealing with. I don't know why I'm acting this way. Why do I act this way? It's because you haven't forgiven somebody and you've retained what they're giving you. Now, this is hard saying, but this is what the scripture says. Whosoever sins you remit, that means they won't stick. Remember that old nursery rhyme, I am rubber, you are glue, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you? If we can forgive like that, we won't be retaining anybody's stuff and we'll be us. So we're going to get rid of some of the stuff that we've retained we didn't even know we did. And then how to stay free. Wouldn't that be nice? I like this little thing that God showed me one time. It goes, talk about selective amnesia. Okay, I'm not telling anybody has amnesia in here, but selective amnesia means you're going to forget everything that ever hurt you in your life. How would you feel? If you had no memory of the pain that was given to you, how would you feel today? You'd be free, wouldn't you? That's the stuff we need to get rid of. And that's all through unforgiveness. The number one block to all of our issues, and you can name a disease to me, you can name an issue, a situation. I've been doing this for 25 years. People call me from all over the world, Australia, UK, America, asking me, what's the spiritual root to this issue? And because of 25 years working with another ministry, we've come up with a history, case histories of people's with diseases and what that root is. Sometimes we just need to, we want to know what that is. So when we recognize what it is that's in us, then we can come to God and say, Lord, this is what I see. I didn't know it was there. I didn't know it was there. Let me ask you a question. Is forgiveness a command or a suggestion? If it's a command, that means we're supposed to do it. Now, there is obedience to it, but again, God looks at our heart. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy, it says that when we forgive, we're keeping the devil away. That's added bonus. When you forgive, 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, we recover ourselves from the snare of the devil that are taking him us captive at his will. 2 Corinthians 2:5. Let's go there really quickly. 2 Corinthians 2:5. I'm going to jump to a little bit of scripture reading because it's important. 2 Corinthians 2:5. I have to ask you a question. Has anybody ever caused you any grief in your life? Maybe you have grief now. You know what grief is? Treating you miserably. You feel bad. They just caused you pain. It says, if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part that I might not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So a person that causes you grief is miserable. It says it right there. So that contrarywise, instead of don't do that to them that they do to you. Remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and get this. And comfort him. Ooh. Not just forgive him and say, I forgive you and forget. No. To forgive and comfort them. And get this. Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with much sorrow. So you, by forgiving, comforting them, you're helping them get out of their sorrow. Because they can only give you what they have. And if they're not loving and kind to you, then you need to love and forgive them. When I was at a restaurant, and this lady was sitting there, she was my waitress, she would come up and just throw the menu at me. I'd go all the time at this restaurant as I was working. And I would always try to get out of her station. But somehow, she'd find me. So she would throw the menu, what do you want? And I thought, I'm not coming back to this one again, Lord. And he goes, no, I want you to go and comfort her. Forgive her and comfort her. And I'll tell you what, that was tough. But okay, that's what the Bible says. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you, Lord. So the next day, I made this little box that had a little jewelry piece in there that I made. And I had a little gift, and she came to my table, and before she threw that menu at me, I said, hey, I got something for you. She said, you do? I handed it to her. She sat across from me and said, nobody has ever done anything like this ever since I worked here. We became best friends. A little kindness can go a long way, but you got to forgive first. Then it doesn't say just to forgive and comfort, but then it says to confirm your love to them. It says, because then I'll know this is the proof if you're being obedient in all things. So forgiveness is obedience, right? When we forgive, we're being obedient. And it says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive it also. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Forgiveness will keep us away from the devil, his attacks. When you walk in forgiveness, he cannot attack you. He can, but you won't fall into it. You'll be able to say, I see you. And a lot of this time is not just him, it's people. He uses people to come against you, doesn't he? They come and they act all kinds of ways, and you go, oh, the devil made me do it. There are three areas of forgiving, and they're with relationship. Again, it's all about relationship. That's why the enemy likes to use our mind to cause us to act certain ways, to treat people badly. He doesn't just come with like an invisible arrow. He comes with words. He comes in relationship. Somehow, somebody's being used. That's that person that's causing you grief. If you forgive, the devil has no power in your life. If you forgive, the devil has no power in your life. So the first thing is our relationship with the Father. Matthew 22, 37 through 40 tells us that we are to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as we love ourselves. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets. That's the first one, to love. And then we're to love others and, of course, love ourselves. Those are his command to us. So there's four ways we forgive. Okay, this is where I want to give you some tools, and then I'm going to show you how to forgive from your heart. We are to overlook an offense. You never got offended in the first place. Now that one's a hard one, isn't it? No matter what they do, you just don't get bothered. How many live there? Not very many. Never to be offended in the first place. I like this saying. I was watching Downton Abbey. I don't know if anybody ever watched that show, but I watched Downton Abbey, and I love old Lady Grantham's quote. Here's one of them. Treat everything as a compliment, and it won't be awkward later. So if somebody treats you some way, go, thank you very much. Take it as a compliment. Not only that, they might be saying something you need to hear. So take it as a compliment. I'm telling you, that's a tough one. But I've turned things around in my life by treating everything as a compliment. We had somebody here last week, and my husband and I were laughing, because now I understand what this means. When he does this, that means take everything as a compliment. Because this individual commented to me about my piano playing last week. And I got home and I said, oh man, did I sound horrible? I was thinking of it as a negative. I was thinking, bad, I'm never playing the piano again. And I called him. I said, well, I need to ask you a question, because I don't want no weird stuff. You don't want any weird stuff between people, right? You want honesty, don't you? Do you want honesty? I do. So I called and I said, you know, I had to ask you, what did you mean about the piano playing? He goes, oh man, you were really good. I really loved the way you were playing. So now, I treat everything as a compliment. And if I'm wrong, hey, 90% of the time I'll be right. Don't sweat the other 10%. That's how you overlook offense. Treat it as a compliment. Does that make sense? I hope so, because it changed my life. Then the second way we forgive is we can forgive quickly. Let's say something happened. Oh, you felt it go, ooh. You felt it. You know what I'm talking about. Oh man, that hurt. Well, then take the knife and just pull it right back out. Those are those wiles or those darts of the devil. You realize you've taken on some offense and you can actually feel it. You need to forgive quickly. Then the third one is you're going to forgive later. You recognize you've not forgiven. The pain is there, and 7, 10, 20 days later, it's still there. You can't get it out of your mind. What they did to you keeps coming up like a bad penny over and over in your thinking, and it's keeping you in bondage. You're going to try to forgive later. And then there's the fourth. You never forgive. That's the death sentence, actually. When you don't forgive, the Bible says, neither will God in heaven forgive you. So how does it really feel to forgive from your heart? It leaves no trace of pain. Now, I couldn't be up here talking to you about stuff if I didn't have a memory of some of the things that happened in my life. But I don't have the pain anymore associated with that memory. That's what God wants to get rid of. That's what forgiveness is for, how to forgive from your heart. It actually cuts soul ties. You ever heard of a soul tie? A soul tie is where you're connected to somebody. Let's say you walk into a room and Sister Super Christian is standing over there, and you have to act a certain way because she's here. Or you have a friend that you don't really like. You're not going to that place anymore because that was the last time that happened. I had a bad experience. You soul tie yourself to that situation. We're going to cut them. And we do it with God's invisible scissors. This is my other large feature. He wants to cut and sever every soul tie, and we do it through forgiving. Don't ever forget these scissors. They're good. They cut deep. When you cut those soul ties, and by forgiving, because God does it, we don't cut them. God does it by our forgiving. It replaces unforgiveness with compassion. Go figure. Wow. And it cleanses our hearts so we become whom God created us to be. If I have all these people I need to forgive, I'm not Linda, because all their stuff is in me. telling me who I am, who I am not, what I can do, what I can't do. You know those voices, what grandma said or what your Aunt Marge said, that you're still living with every day? We need to forgive every word spoken over us that causes us torment, because it's the pain God wants to go. And we do it through forgiving from our heart. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. I'm going to talk a little bit later on our immune system, because that has a lot to do with this scripture. Your immune system is broken and compromised with unforgiveness. And what does that do? It opens you up for all kinds of diseases physically. We can talk about that at another time. But what happens is that you have a thought and it's going to stimulate some stuff in you. You're going to not go to that place. You're not going to talk to that person. As a matter of fact, you're going to have an address book. And you're going to look in that address book and cross off names you don't want in your new address book. Why? Because you don't like them anymore. Because they don't have nothing for you. Because there's unforgiveness. I look at it this way. Take your old address book, take a look at the name, and if they don't give you a warm, fuzzy feeling, then there's love and forgiveness. If you get a high-octane ping, it goes, ugh, then there's unforgiveness. I went through my address book, over 200 people, and I've had to forgive. I didn't even know I had to. But the pain and the memory, even one little word, needs to be forgiven. Then you can be clean before God and be all that He wants you to be. So, real quickly, and I've got plenty of time. How to forgive from your heart. Some of you might need a forgiveness journal. Don't let anybody see it, but you might have this little forgiveness journal. And you want to write down the names of the individuals that you know you've either forgiven, but you still have a but. You think about them and you have pain. Those are the people you want to forgive, right, from our heart. You want that out. Does anybody want that out?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're going to get rid of. John 20:23 again says, removing sin from our heart that may have perpetrated by others. So we want to get rid of stuff that's been landed on us. We are like vessels, and whatever we allow in is going to fill us. There's a consequence of not forgiving. Matthew 18:34-35 says this. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentor till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you if you forgive not from your hearts everyone his brother, his trespass. In other words, forgive everyone their trespasses. He's going to do the same to you. He's going to put you into bondage. Because when we don't forgive, we hear the old saying, even the world, you don't forgive for the other person, you forgive for yourself. Okay, we've all heard that. But it's very, very true. I have a friend that became a friend. She was at one of my conferences. A friend brought her. And she had been, matter of fact, I'm going to just pull it out of here and just a couple of words here, what God did in this lady's life. Says this, and I taught her how to forgive from her heart. A woman came to one of my seminars who was having night terrors and would often cut herself. She was truly tormented. Christian girl. Her story was that she was being sexually abused by someone in the church. A minister. She never told anyone about it, and it went on for some time. The abuse stopped when she was able to move away from that area, but the night terrors didn't. She couldn't sleep. She was depressed. She wanted to die. Then what I taught, what I'm sharing with you here, she applied to her life. She was sitting in the back seat of my car. This was after all that took place, the prayer and how to forgive. She was sitting in the back seat of my car, and she started crying. She began asking God, why was I crying? And He said, those aren't painful tears. Those are tears of compassion. She realized that she didn't have any anger or hate towards Him any longer. All she had left was compassion. She was stunned by that because she never thought she could ever forgive Him. But she did. Her night terrors left. and she doesn't hurt herself any longer. She is actually getting married and starting a new life, totally because she forgave somebody who abused her and hurt her. Somebody she thought she could never forgive. I can never forgive for you for what you did to me. Do we have those tucked away in our heart? But the scripture is very clear. We need to forgive from our heart. We need to forgive everybody, or God, Christ's sake, won't forgive us. This is a great way to forgive from your heart. If you can recognize somebody, just right now off the top of your head, thinking of somebody you might want to forgive, just put them off to the side. You don't have to say to the person next to you, you're the one, okay? You don't want to do that. Just keep it tucked away in your little heart that that's a person. And this is how you do it. You identify what they did that hurt you. They lied about you. They cheated on you. They abused you. You see all those things that they did. Those are things that you want to forgive, right? So maybe you did forgive them for your childhood bring up from a parent or something. You already forgave them. However, the pain about memories of them are still there. This is how you get rid of it. Once you recognize what they did that hurt you, then the second column, this other list, that's why I said get a forgiveness journal, and you write down over here what you retained. Remember, John 20:23, whosoever sins. So, when you recognize what you became, I became hurt, angry, sad, fearful, bitter, worrier, anxious, unloved, uncaring, unfeeling, controlling, manipulative. You see how we become things because of a painful situation? Now, those things that I just named off, what are those things? Those are sins that we retained. Now they're ours. And that's what I'm living in every single day if I don't forgive somebody. So now I take those to the Lord and I say, Father, I recognize I didn't know that I retained these sins from this individual by not forgiving them. So I ask you to forgive me for, and you begin to just name them off to the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we confess our sins, those became ours, he cleans it up, now there's nothing. Now here's the cool part. Now you're free to forgive. You couldn't forgive with all that stuff in your heart, right? You'd be saying, oh, I'm never going to talk to them again, all that ugly stuff. But when you are free to forgive, there's nothing that's going to keep you from forgiving from your heart. Now you can forgive them and go on your merry way. Does that make sense about how to identify what you've retained? See, I cannot forgive somebody if I feel guilt about them. I can't forgive them if I'm angry at them. It just can't. But if I get rid of the anger, then I can forgive them. And you only do it through repentance and forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says that. Confess your sins, what you retained, what was perpetrated upon you. We're vessels. What are we carrying around? Now, we can prevent it by, get this, treat it as a compliment, and it will never have effect on you at all from that day forward. Forgive them quickly. You might feel it for a moment and then pull it out right away. Recognize it right away. You know, you can actually have a soul tie, and it's the same thing with soul ties and forgiveness, with a person driving a car in front of you. If they're driving very slowly, what does that make you do? It makes you crazy. You start to tailgate. Maybe, you know, you've just connected to them emotionally. You got to forgive them for driving slow. And you'll back off. It'll just happen. Forgiveness changes us. It changes the people around us. It changes us. And it draws us closer to the Lord. Now we have an empty vessel for God to fill with his love, compassion, purpose, direction. But if we're filled up with all that other stuff, and that's just one person, how many people do we need to really forgive from our heart? And here I am singing the hallelujah chorus and whatever, and all of a sudden God brings to mind these faces. I didn't push him away. God says, I need you to forgive him. So when I looked at those faces, I began to identify what I became: dirty, ugly, unloved, unwanted, sad, ignored, bitter, fearful. And as I repented for those things, I was now free to forgive all of my attackers. I can talk to you now about it because the Lord healed me and pulled out the pain associated with it. I wouldn't be able to minister if I had too much pain going on in me to be able to speak through it. It'd be just too disastrous. It wouldn't work. But I forgave them from my heart. Those were hard people to forgive. But He requires it. It is a command. Because it's not about them, it's about me. Do I want the best for me from God? Then it's going to come through forgiving.